नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 18 परीक्षित कर्स्ट बाय ब्राह्मण बॉय टेक्स्ट 46 धर्मपालो नरपति सा तू सम्राट बृहच्छवा साक्षान् महाभागवतो राजर्षिर् हय निर्भया श्रुत त्रित श्रमा युतो दीनो नैवास्मच् छापम् अर्हति धर्मपालो नरपति सातु सम्राट बृहच्छ्रवः साक्षाद् महाभागवतो राजर्षिर्हयमेधया श्रुत्वेत् श्रमो युतो दीनो नैवास्मच्छापमर्हति धर्मपालो नरपति सातु सम्राट बृहच्छ्रवा साक्षान् महाभागवतो राजर्षिर्हयमेधया क्षुत्वित्श्रमो युतो दीनो नैवाश्माच्छापमर्हति धर्मपालो नरोपति सतु सम्राट बृहच्छ्रवा साक्षान् महाभागवतो राजर्षिर्हयमेधया क्षुत्रिश्रमो युतो दीनो नैवाश्मच्छापमर्हति धर्मपालः द प्रोटेक्टर ऑफ रिलीजियन नरपतिः द किंग सा तू आई एम सॉरी सा ही तू बट सम्राट एम्परर बृहत् हाईली श्रवः सेलिब्रेटेड साक्षात् डायरेक्टली महाभागवतः द फर्स्ट क्लास डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड राजर्षि सेंट अमंग द रॉयल ऑर्डर हयमेधयात् ग्रेट परफॉर्मर ऑफ हॉर्स सैक्रिफाइसेस क्षुत हंगर त्रित थर्स्ट श्रमः युतः टायर्ड एंड फटीग्ड दीनः स्ट्रिकन ना नेवर एव दास अस्मत् बाय अस शापम कर्स अर्हति डिजर्व्स Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and a first-class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. Please repeat after me. The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and is a first-class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is saint amongst royalty, and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After explaining the general codes relating to the royal position and asserting that the king can do no wrong and therefore he never to be condemned, the sage Shamika wanted to say something about Emperor Parikshit specifically. The specific qualification of Maharaj Parikshit is summarized herein. The king, even calculated as a king only, was most celebrated as a ruler, who administered the religious principles of the royal order. In the Shastras, the duties of all castes and orders of society are prescribed. All the qualities of a Kshatriya mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, 18:43, were present in the person of the emperor. He was also a great devotee of the Lord and a self-realized soul. Cursing such a king when he was tired and fatigued with hunger and thirst was not at all proper. Shamik Rishi thus admitted from all sides that Maharaj Parikshit was cursed most unjustly. Although all the brahmanas were aloof from the incident, still for the childish action of a brahmana boy, the whole situation was changed. Thus, Rishi Shamik, a brahmana, took responsibility for all deterioration of the good order of the society. Dharmapalo Naropati, Satu Samrat, Brihachava, Shakshan Mahabhagavato, Rajarshir Hayamedhayat, Kshutrit Shamo Yuto Dino, Naivashma Chapa Marhati. The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and is a first-class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. So Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that first Shamik Rishi explained to his son Sringi why such a king should not have been cursed. A king is in a very, very responsible position. He has the responsibility of protecting the society. And when such a qualified king is not there to protect the society, then the society will become degraded, as he foretold, as he forecasted, how the society becomes degraded. And from the last few days' verses, we can see that how 5,000 years ago, Shamik Rishi could foresee what would happen 5,000 years after. What is happening in today's society, in today's world, had been most accurately described by Shamik Rishi. He described in absolute perfection and accuracy what would happen. Because he was a Trikala Darshi, he could see the three phases of time, past, present, and future. And he could see what is the consequence of the absence of a qualified leader, a bona fide king to protect the society. And Prabhupada explained that when such a king is not there to protect the society, the human society takes takes resort to the collective form of electing a leader, democracy. But in a democratic society, the society degenerates in such a way. When there is one king is missing to rule the world, when they are in the absence of one king, one qualified king, what actually happens? Everybody becomes a king. And that is what democracy is. Everybody is a king. Everybody is electing a leader. But Prabhupada is pointing out, how can the ignorant mass wisely elect a qualified leader? Mass is ignorant. General population is ignorant. So how can the ignorant mass elect a qualified leader? So the quality of leader will deteriorate. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that has been more elaborately described. What will happen to this world? And it has been pointed out that dasyu prayashu rajanyeshu. The dacoits, dasyus, will become kings. So when the bandits become king, what will happen? When the bandits become leader, what will happen? What do the bandits do? Do they benefit the society? Or they plunder the society? They rob people, they steal people. And that is what is happening, and when such qualified leader is not there to rule the world, then the whole society, social structure will fall apart. The whole social structure will fall apart. The women will become unprotected and they'll be exploited. And as a result of that, there'll be Varna Sankara, the unwanted progeny will be born, and their life will be simply centered around collecting money for sense gratification. Now, isn't that what is happening in today's world? Everyone is after money. Everyone is trying to collect money. And why they are collecting money? Why they are after money? Because they think that with money they are going to have sense gratification. And sense gratification, life of sense gratification means meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. And of all these activities, the center of activity is sex life. So this is how the society is degenerated. Therefore, he is pointing out such a king shouldn't have been cursed. A king like Parikshit Maharaj shouldn't have been cursed. And now in this verse he is pointing out the special qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj's qualities had been described first of all as a dharmapala. He is the protector of religion. Dharmapalo. Dharmapalo, Samrat, this emperor, is the protector of religion. And he is Brihachaba. He is very well celebrated. Because of his glorious activities, he is celebrated everywhere. Brihat Shraba. He is highly celebrated and he is Mahabhagavat. He is a great devotee of the Lord. And he is Rajarshi. He is not only a king, but he is a saint who took the responsibility of a king. He is a rishi. He is a saint amongst the kings. And haya medhayat. Haya means horse and medha means sacrifice. So he is a performer of many horse sacrifices. This is how great a personality Parikshit Maharaj was. And now you have irresponsibly cursed him. And cursed him how? When? At a time when he was tired and fatigued due to hunger and thirst in the middle of the forest. So when a king is hunting in the forest and he is tired and fatigued, he is hungry and thirsty, even at that time, even if he loses his control of his senses and he acts in an undesirable manner, one should understand that response, that situation. And the nice thing about Shramikrishi, you can see that he not only recognized the problem of cursing Parikshit Maharaj and the consequence thereof, but he is taking the responsibility of his son's irresponsible activity. And he is holding the whole, that he is considering that the entire Brahminical community is responsible for that. Because since you are a Brahmana, and since you cursed, it is actually it will be considered as the fault of the entire Brahminical society. That has been pointed out in the previous verse. So, we can see that these people who are the leaders of the society, whether a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, were very noble in character. Although he was personally insulted, and because of that, his son cursed Parikshit Maharaj. But he did not take that seriously. His personal insult was not at all his concern. These are the characters of noble personalities. Tolerant and generous and humble. We notice, like when Shramikrishi heard the cry, his son crying, heard the cry of his son, and he came out of his trance, he did notice that there was a snake on his neck. He did not feel shocked, or he did not feel hurt or insulted or angry. He very simply just took it off and threw it away. Not at all affected by that. And then he got to know what his son has done, and then immediately he became very concerned and he reacted in such a grave and responsible manner. And And in such a wise way, he could immediately consider the consequences of that act. What would happen? Why? What he has done? Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai. What you have done, because of your act, the whole society, the whole world will suffer. Parikshit Maharaj was a personality who could have kept Kali at bay. But because of Parikshit Maharaj's disappearance now, the whole world is going to suffer. And Parikshit Maharaj's character also has been so wonderfully described. We can see how he was a dharmapal. During his time, dharma was perfectly established. Dharma was standing on four legs, completely intact. Dharma was completely standing on the four pillars, completely intact. How can you see that? That there was no meat eating, there was no gambling, there was no illicit sex, and there was no intoxication. So from these symptoms, we can see how during Parikshit Maharaj's time, dharma was perfectly established. Perfectly established. Not a single person was indulging in these actions. And why they were not indulging in these sinful activities? Because everyone was afraid. If anyone indulged in those activities, he would have been immediately punished. That's what we were discussing yesterday. How does a king establish law and order? He establishes law and order by punishing the outlaws. Whoever breaks the law, king immediately punishes. And those punishments are not whimsically executed. Those punishments have been very systematically mentioned in Manu Samhita. Manu Samhita is a law book for mankind. Manu has given these laws for what kind of crime, what kind of punishment should be given. And the king was so noble that even if his son broke the law, the king would punish him. That is how noble the kings used to be. There was no consideration of partiality, or there was no consideration of negligence on their part. A judge has to be completely impartial. Even though a person who is very dear or very close breaks the law, he immediately executes the punishment. And this has been seen in the history of India since time immemorial. For example, even in here, in Madhya Pradesh, not too long ago, there was a queen, Ahillabai, and her grandson molested a woman. And she was reported that her grandson has committed that crime. She punished him, although her own grandson. She punished. How did she punish that boy? By smashing his head by the trampling by an elephant. And that was, so everybody saw. the consequence of such an act. And when there is such strong law and order, when there is such strict discipline, then no one will break the law. There has always also been instances, the king banished his own son. The king banished the prince from the kingdom because of the some sinful act that he has, or the breaking of the law. So that is how noble the kings of India used to be. This is how the Vedic culture used to be. But today, that culture is lost. Why? Because a king like Parikshit Maharaj is not there to rule the kingdom. Instead, gradually we are seeing the more and more criminals are coming into the political scenes, and as a result of that, the whole world is suffering. The whole world is suffering. There is no... Recently we have seen the Supreme Court in India passed a law that if a person has a criminal record, he can stand in the election. If anybody has a criminal record, he will not be able to stand in the election, stand for election. Now in the parliament, they have rejected that. So why? Because the people, those who are standing for election and those who are becoming ministers, most of them are criminals. Because if the criminals can't stand in the election, then what will happen to them? Because they themselves are criminals. All of them have some criminal record. Or if not all, most of them have some criminal record. So we can clearly see the condition of this country. And not only this country, it's happening in other countries also. And it is degenerating. Condition is degenerating. I remember when I was young, there was a prime minister in England. He was found having a relationship with a call girl, with a prostitute. And he had to resign. When it became public, he had to resign from his position. We also know Nixon, the President of America, had to resign because what he was doing, he was found guilty of taping taping some the conversations of some political other political party meetings or something, just because of that he had to resign from his position as the minister, as a president of the country. But now, although the prime ministers and presidents are exposed having illicit relationship with secretaries, but still they are getting away with that. What's the name of the previous American president? Bill Clinton. He was exposed of having an illicit relationship with one of his secretaries, and she herself actually exposed it or made it public, but he continued, he carried on in his position for many more years. So this is how we are seeing, and actually this is just the beginning. democracy started only quite recently, and it was not so bad. We see the Indian political scene after independence, the political leaders in India, they were good people. They were noble, upright, patriotic individuals who made a lot of sacrifice. But in 50, 60 years' time, we are seeing what's happening in India. Just less than 60 years' time, the whole situation has become so degraded. And the same thing with other countries also. I remember in South Africa, recently South Africa got independence. The first person who became the president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, was a very noble man, very, very good person. Actually, the whole world was afraid when the blacks get the power, then how they will react to the whites. But because of Nelson Mandela, the whole country went through such a wonderful transition. There was no case of violence, and the whole world was completely awed, awestruck with admiration at such a wonderful transition of the government. Mainly because during the apartheid time, the whites in South Africa had been brutally tortured, the blacks. They've treated them in a very unpleasant way. Actually, they used to think, that was their belief actually. They were so unquote, uncultured people that they even used to think that the black people do not have soul. They used to, that was their, so they're actually, these Boers. There's an expression in English, Boer. Boer means uncultured. And the South African whites are known as Boers. Means uncultured, completely ignorant fools. That's why they could actually think like that and behave like that. Nelson Mandela during that time was in prison for good 45 years in prison. He spent practically his whole life he spent in prison. And when he became a president, he did not take any revenge. He could have taken revenge. But Nelson Mandela was very much inspired by Mahatma Gandhi's non-violence policy during his time. And his consideration was that violence will simply breed violence. So violence must be returned with forgiveness and tolerance. And that's what he demonstrated. He did not put a single white man into prison because of the atrocities of the past. He could have very well done that. So we can see what a noble person became the leader of the country. And after Nelson Mandela came Thabo Mbeki. He also was quite good. Like, not as good as Nelson Mandela. Thabo Mbeki is more of a communist. He had communistic-minded person, because he spent many years, because he spent a good number of his time in youth in Russia, and he also got a lot of support from Russia or the communist countries during their struggle. So he was a good statesman, very upright person. And during this time, South Africa has seen a wonderful progress. But now, Tabuambeki is going to go. And the next person who is coming in, who may come in power, who may become the president, he is a rogue of the first water. Recently he was the vice president, and he had been expelled from his position. He had been removed because he was accused of raping a girl. But he is coming back to power now because of popular vote. The mass is supporting him. And why the mass is supporting him? Because the mass is ignorant. They do not know who to support. Although Tabuambeki, he was very upright and very, very straight and strict. When his thing came out that he has raped a woman in his house, he removed him from, although he was a deputy president, vice president. But there is a fear that if he comes, and not only that, he is known for laundering money, he has stacked a lot of money in the Swiss bank already, before becoming the president. Actually, these people are coming in power, they are in power, so they have their means to squander money, to take huge sums of money. And South Africa is a very opulent country. Plus, it is getting a lot of support as a new nation from different parts of the world. Now, what is happening to the money? These people are stealing that money. The political leaders are stealing that money. Nelson Mandela didn't do that. Tabuambeki didn't do that. But this person is already doing that. And the result is he gained his popularity and he'll come to power. So what will happen? The quality of the leadership will deteriorate. Anyway, so what the world needs is leaders like Parikshit Maharaj. Now, how it will happen, we do not know, but at least we can take these personalities as our ideals. We are being exposed, we are being informed, we are being educated with these noble characters of such noble personalities, and at least we can uplift ourselves individually. We may not become like Parikshit Maharaj, but at least we can make Parikshit Maharaj as our ideal and try to become like him. We may not become like him, but at least we can develop some of his qualities. And we can inspire others to develop these qualities. This is how the world will change. And that is why Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON. We have come to ISKCON in order to develop the good qualities of a Mahabhagavat. We do not think that we will become Mahabhagavat, but at least we can follow the footsteps of a Mahabhagavat. We can try to become a speck of dust at the feet of a Mahabhagavat. Even then it will be such a wonderful achievement. This world is degrading, but at least we can uplift ourselves to some extent and not succumb to this influence, the degraded influence, undesirable influence of this world today, which has become so badly afflicted with the influence of Kali. At least we can abstain from meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. At least we can cultivate these four pillars, reconstruct those four pillars of dharma by performing austerities, by cultivating mercy, by cultivating the qualities of cleanliness and truthfulness. These are the four pillars of dharma: austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness. At least we can try to become the devotees of the Lord. And when you become devotees of the Lord, then it has been pointed out in the scriptures that all the good qualities of a demigod will become manifest in that person. Jashasti bhaktir bhagavatta kinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Jashasti bhaktir bhagavatta kinchana. When one becomes a sincere devotee, committed devotee of the Lord, when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, then all the qualities, divine qualities of a demigod becomes manifest in him. Sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. So all the good qualities like mercy, austerity, truthfulness and cleanliness will become manifest in a devotee. And these are the real qualities. Mercy, compassion, generosity, forbearance, tolerance. These are all the qualities that are desirable in a human being. And as we develop these qualities, we will develop our greatness of character. A person is considered to be great. Why? Because of these qualities. All the great people in the world have all these qualities, or at least some of these qualities. They may be great in the mundane platform, but still we find these good qualities in them. Like Mahatma Gandhi may have made many mistakes, but he had a lot of good qualities in him. He had a lot of good qualities, like he was a strict adherent of truthfulness. He was very austere. He was very determined. He took some ideas and he stuck to it. Just stuck to it, no matter what. Even though he was brutally tortured, he was beaten up, he was put into prison, mercilessly treated, but he would not give up. Such determination is the sign of a great character. So all the great people of this world had been blessed with all these good qualities. Not blessed, they cultivated these good qualities. They systematically cultivated all these good qualities. And that's why they're great. they're recognized as great. Napoleon Bonaparte. He had so many, he was a person of such noble character. Once they were, when he was just a corporal in the army, in the French army he was a corporal, like a lower division officer in the army. He was a young man, and there's an incident that Napoleon once, they won some battle, and everyone was enjoying. All the soldiers, naturally, after they win a battle, they go out and they enjoy drinking and all kinds of activities. But Napoleon, he was sitting down in his room, and he was solving some mathematical problems. So the keeper of that house, or the barrack, one lady was there, and she came and asked, "Why are you doing that?" His response was that, "What's the point in wasting your time, wasting your precious time in such irresponsible acts?" And then after a good few years, Napoleon came to the same place, same village, or same place, town, and the same lady saw Napoleon, but now Napoleon is the monarch. And she recognized and said, "You know, I remember that you were..." And Napoleon's reply was that and that's why I am what I am, and they are what they are. What they were doing, they had been reaping the harvest of their acts, and because I was preparing myself, that's why I am the monarch. I am what I am today. Napoleon had later on had been very badly treated when he was captured by the British, and he was actually captured like a captured animal in a cage. He was kept in a cage like an animal in Trafalgar Square, in the heart of London City. But people were jeering at him, and anyway, they were treating him very, very badly. But then, after a few days, the government noticed that people's attitude, just by seeing him, people's attitude is changing, and they became afraid. So they took him out of that place and kept him in the prison house, and then sent him to exile in St. Helena. So that is a sign of a great personality. Just by seeing him, people become influenced. He was treated like an animal in a cage, but even in there he was carrying himself in such a way that people became impressed. People started becoming influenced by him. Also, that reminds me of another incident of a very wonderful encounter of two great personalities. One was Alexander, and the other is Porus. Puru was captured after the battle, and he was brought to Alexander's court for judgment. But Puru came with, although he was chained, But it has been described, Puru was a very big person. And he was already a big personality. He was almost 7 feet tall. And he was looking even taller because he held his head so high. But he was looking even taller. And he was brought in front of Alexander. And Alexander asked him, what kind of treatment do you expect from me? And Puru's answer was, just as a king is treated by another king. And Alexander told his men to release him immediately. And he did treat him like a king. He didn't treat him like a prisoner. He treated him like a king. He released him, gave his kingdom back. Just out of one encounter, just out of one answer. He was expecting that Alexander would treat him just as a king treats another king. So these are, these people are recognized as great personalities, not by chance, but because they were great with their character. They were noble in the character. There was another very beautiful incident which I often recall. Napoleon, he was fighting, his army was fighting, and the enemies were coming in. And so when the enemies are coming forward, then the first thing they do is respond with the cannon fire, because the cannon fire goes a long way. And then they charge, the soldier goes out and charge. And they didn't start cannon fire because Napoleon fell asleep after 3 days. And they wanted Napoleon to sleep a little longer before they start the cannon fire, although the enemies were charging in. Because if they opened the cannon fire, then Napoleon would wake up. So they would risk their own lives, but allow Napoleon to have a little sleep. Like, why his followers had such love for him? Because he must have responded to them with equal amount of love. The way he treated them, he was getting the treatment from them accordingly. So Napoleon was not Napoleon just because of by chance or by... Like, he was endowed with all these qualities. And not only Napoleon, all the great personalities were like that. A great personality always has a great heart. That's what makes them great. Once I asked a devotee, before I met Srila Prabhupada, I asked one of our god brothers, American god brothers, like, what is so impressive, what's the most wonderful thing about Srila Prabhupada? And his reply was that he has a heart with which he can embrace the whole world. That was the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. And that's how he saw Srila Prabhupada. And many devotees later on actually mentioned that. Like, another devotee was mentioning about Prabhupada's greatness. That what actually impressed him about Srila, what was so impressive about Srila Prabhupada according to him, was the way Srila Prabhupada took care of everybody. The way Prabhupada cared for everyone. And that's why they responded to Srila Prabhupada that way. The way he took care of everybody. And we have seen later on, I have seen that myself, like the kind of concern that Srila Prabhupada used to have for everybody. Srila Prabhupada did not eat for about 2 months. He didn't eat anything for 2 months. He was bedridden. But still Prabhupada would ask me to find out how whether the devotees are getting nice prasad. He was not able to eat for months, but he was concerned that the devotees had nice prasad, whether the devotees had good prasad. Simple prasad, rice, dal, chapati, sabji, but it should be nicely prepared, it should be nicely served. And one day I told Srila Prabhupada that I thought that prasad was not so nice. He sent me to see what kind of prasad devotees are getting. And when I came back and reported that the devotees were not getting such nice, the prasad was not so nice, Prabhupada called the temple president, who was a sannyasi at that time, and Prabhupada chastised him, why devotees are not getting good prasad. And Prabhupada told me also. Once Prabhupada told me, maybe after that incident, after he chastised the temple president, he told me, make it a point that the devotees get nice prasad. And he said that is the only sense gratification they have. Yeah, the only sense gratification the devotees have is nice prasad. So make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. Therefore, I also try to make it a point. Maybe I should ask the temple president. Or maybe I can ask everybody, is the prasad nice? Are you all getting nice prasad? Last time I was taking prasad with the devotees, but this time I couldn't do that. Anyway, next time I'll make it a point. Now I am in diet myself. I have to take special prasad now. So, at least we can try to become a speck of dust at the lotus feet of these great personalities. And maybe some of their greatness will rub off and we'll cultivate those qualities to some extent. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? What is the actual meaning of non-violence? Prabhupada has pointed out, according to our scriptures, violence is to hinder the natural spiritual growth of an individual. Violence is not just a physical thing. It is a spiritual consideration. And the hindrance to the obstruct the natural spiritual growth or spiritual growth of an individual is violence. So cause the spiritual growth and the hindrance to spiritual growth is actually violence. The hindrance to one's spiritual growth is the real violence. But materially, it is to inflict physical or mental pain is considered to be violence. But that is a material consideration. Inflict pain on others. But the ultimate consideration is spiritual. Everyone must go to Krishna. So if we stop him from going to Krishna, that is violence. So what is the real non-violence? Helping him to go towards Krishna. That is the real non-violence. So Prabhupada pointed out, that's where Gandhi was wrong, and that's where there was no effect. Gandhi was promoting non-violence, but what happened? 60 years after independence, what is the state of this country? Prabhupada even went to the extent of telling that India would have been better off if the British were here today. Many people may not like to hear that, but Prabhupada was very straightforward. And Prabhupada also wrote as early as in 48, soon after India's independence, 48, 49. He said, the British have gone and they were exploiting the country, and we thought that it was bad. But what will eventually happen? The Indians will enslave the Indians. Previously it was the British who enslaved the Indians, and now the Indians will enslave Indians. And didn't that happen today? The political leaders, are they benefiting the country, benefiting the people? The leaders of India, the country today? No, they're exploiting the people. Every year the tax rate is going up. Why is that? Is the living condition improving? No, but every year the tax is going up. Why? Because everybody's demand is, all these political leaders' demand is increasing. Now they need more money, they need more. So, just impose tax upon them. Just impose tax so that we can get money. Okay. Any other question?
Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.